Blog Talk Radio.
We worship. I love to worship. I love to worship. I love to worship you alone. I love to worship. I love to worship at your throne, Lord, at your feet, I bow my knee, there's no place that I would rather be. I love to worship. I love to worship. I love to lift my hands and praise. I love to worship. I love to worship. I love to sing to the Ancient of Days. In spirit and truth, my worship to you, all my desire is to do. I love to worship.
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 I love to worship
you.
I love to worship.
I love to worship.
I love
worship.
I love to worship.
I love to worship.
I love to worship.
I love to worship you.
As we enter in to your holy place, beholding the beauty of your face. I love to worship.
I love to worship.
I love to worship.
Good morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That is so apropos for the word that we have on today. I want to know how many of you out there love to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Just take a couple of minutes just to worship God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We magnify you. We bless your name. We thank you for the things that you've done on this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Well, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is March the 23rd, 2024. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. You have entered, you have now entered the Blog Talk Radio Zone, praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome again. This is March. Again, we're in the third month, and we're looking for a move of God. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. Certainly, we honor our co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, that did an outstanding job on last week. If you did not get to hear her, you certainly can go back and listen to that message. All right, let's get into it. Certainly, I want to thank those that have sent a donation, and you know who you are. Praise God, I've got it. Thank you so much. It is a help, tremendous help to this ministry. Thank you for undergirding this ministry. And all those that would like to, you can send a donation to Amazing Grace Ministries at P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And certainly, it will be greatly appreciated. I want to send our prayers out to those that are mourning, that are celebrating the lives of their loved ones. We have a faithful member of this Blog Talk who is funeralizing his mother on today, and certainly we want to lift that young man up in prayer. He supports this ministry, and certainly he listens quite often. If you want those arrangements, certainly it's going on today. You can give me a text, and I will text you the information. There's another young lady that's also mourning the loss and celebrating the life of her mother, and certainly we want to lift her up as well. When the patriarchs or the matriarchs leave a family, certainly is such a great loss, and I thank God that we are blessed, those of us that still can say that we have our parents here with us. So keep those that are mourning the loss of their loved ones in your prayers. I thank God for you. I want to say all those that are blessed from this blog to give me a text, and some of you do text me and respond to me and say, yes, Dr. Carey, the word was good. So continue to do that. And you can do that at 309-750-7584. And to all those listening out in radio land, certainly I decree upon you blessings and favor. If you have not already heard in my throat, there is something going on. Well, it's not going on. It's the flu that's trying to cripple me, but that bug will not have any authority, and it's got to leave. So in essence, on this week, my mother was diagnosed with the flu. She's keep her in your prayers. And as I have been nursing her, this bug has really tried to take hold of me. But we know better. God is a healer and a deliverer. And certainly I'm standing on the word of God. So with that being said, you might hear some sniffles and some deep breaths. But praise God, God is gotten the victory. So let's get into the lesson. If you want to link to this lesson, just text me and I will respond by sending you the link. Okay, believers all over the world will celebrate Holy Week, commemorating the last 8 days of Jesus' life on earth. This is a sacred time. A time of opportunity to reflect and express gratitude to God for the most important event in our history of the world Christ has accomplished in the lives of us as believers. Now, the week begins with Palm Sunday, which is tomorrow, and ends Easter Sunday, or as we call it, Resurrection Sunday. Each day is set apart for a time of fasting and prayer for God's will and purpose to be done in us. We have a word to captivate your mind, to illuminate your heart, and lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to greater peace, greater hope, and closer to Jesus Christ. And the theme for this month has been pressing onward in faith for the miraculous. And this lesson on this this Saturday in March is Holy Week, a demonstration of God's will and purpose. Let's go to the scriptures. Zechariah 9:9, this is the King James Version. Rejoice greatly, O daughters. O daughter of Zion, and shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And go with me to Matthew and all the Gospels give an account of this story, but I chose Matthew. The 21st verse 1 through 11. And when they draw nigh upon Jerusalem and will come to Bethphage upon the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus to disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and coat with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say unto thee, ye shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. And certainly I read you the prophet with the earlier verse. Tell your daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh upon thy meek and sitting upon an ass, and a coat of foul of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the coat and on their clothes, and they set upon him thereof. And a very great multitude spread the garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes then went before and cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all cities were moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So when we're talking about Holy Week, we have already told you that Holy Week is a 8-day event, praise the Lord. It starts with Palm Sunday, which is tomorrow, and it leads to the Last Supper. And, of course, right after the Last Supper, he was crucified. And we know the story. Jesus came to save humanity by dying on the cross on Good Friday and resurrecting on, as we call it, Easter or Resurrection Sunday. But let's get into some of these dates, shall we? Let's dive a little bit deeper. And we know the reason why he came is because the sin of the world, sin of humanity, the sin of Adam and Eve, the sin, the fall of the garden. And, of course, Adam was considered the first Adam, but Jesus was considered the last and the Lamb. So when we look at this week, and if you want a chart as well, I do have a chart of the whole entire week. I can text that to you or email it to you. So the Old Testament laws offered many sacrifices to God, but Jesus was the perfect atonement of sacrifice for one and all. He endured the cross because of his great love for us. And Holy Week is an opportunity to study the foundation or roots and understand why we believe what we believe and look at the sacrifices that God has done for us. So when we look at Holy Week, it starts with that Palm Sunday, which is March the 24th, Holy Monday, which is March the 25th, Holy Tuesday, which is March the 26th, Holy Wednesday, which is March the 27th, Monday, Thursday is March the 28th, and Good Friday is March the 29th. And Holy Saturday is March the 30th, which we end up with, as we call it, Resurrection Sunday on the 31st of March. Now, it's let's look at what we consider those days. Now, when we look at Palm Sunday, Jesus rode onto Jerusalem on what we, and I don't know if I said what the purpose is, and I don't think, and I want to go back and I want to talk about that because I didn't really say it. But our theme on today is, Holy Week, a demonstration of God's purpose, will, and his will and purpose. So when we look at those different days, when we look at Palm Sunday, we can see that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. Palm branches was a symbolizing of a triumphant victory, and they led the path of Jesus. They strolled him out, and they led the path, which these things was talked about in Zechariah 9:9, as I read. It says, rejoice greatly, daughters of Zion. So it was talked about beforehand that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem as a king. And the purpose for this was for the people to see that he was king. And a lot of times the people or the notoriety would come in to the town on riding on these fancy horses and stuff. But Jesus chose to ride on what was considered an animal that was not as sophisticated, but an ass, a colt, a donkey. And certainly the people welcomed him, echoing the words of Psalms 118, verses 25 through 26, and that was, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success, excuse me, which is translated as Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna originated from the word to save, meaning the word eventually shifts to express gratitude for salvation and is used in the New Testament, initially in Matthew 21, chapter 21, verses 9. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes from the name of the Lord. Hosanna is the greatest, the highest heaven. That is, it's a pivotal moment in the history of humanity because here is the long-awaited king, the covenant, a new covenant of God is coming into town. And Jesus is coming into town to save the people. Palm Sunday reminds us, as we celebrate this Sunday tomorrow, that reminds us the reign of Christ is far greater than any other man or any other mind of man could conceive in his mind or his plans. This man who came into town fights our battles in the present time. So even though this history is history, it may have gone years ago, we know that when we go into Sunday, and of course the Catholics have been in Lent for 40 days, and their Lent ends on, and I'm not sure, but they've been in Lent. Leave it like that. But we're, when us as believers, we begin to really look at our Savior and his sacrifice when we get to Palm Sunday, because Palm Sunday is significant because it starts off and it tells us that God, that Christ is about to go through some stuff for us to redeem us to God. Mm-hmm. So he enters, as the scripture has said, and then there's a lot of stuff that happened as he entered. Monday before Easter, on the way from Bethany, Jesus and the 12 spent the night there, and Jesus became hungry, seeing a fig tree that had no fruit and no leaves, he cursed it, and the fig should have been full of fruit, but there was no leaves. And then we know that Monday he went into the temple and he sees the people there for profit instead of worshiping God. The scripture says, and Jesus entered the temple court, and drove all who were buying and selling there. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said, my house shall be a house. My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Also in Matthew, those who heard and witnessed Jesus' miraculous healing that day sung praises to him, which caused authorities to begin looking for a way to kill him. And the Gospel of Luke says that they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words, Luke 19 and 48. The enemy wants to kill you. He wants to take everything that God has given you from you. But we are to fight the good fight of faith. And Tuesday before Easter, the next day, Peter noticed that the fully withered fig tree God had cursed to, which Jesus admonished a lesson to have faith and recognize the power of forgiveness. Have faith in God, Jesus said. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not count in their heart or doubt in his heart, but believe that that which they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatsoever asked for in prayer, believe that ye have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that the Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. Mark 11, verses 22 to 26. Holy Tuesday was a day of avoiding traps and teaching. The priest set four traps for Jesus. The first, questioning his authority, to which he answered with a question, and then taught three parables: the parable of the two sons, the parable of the tenants, and the parable of the wedding banquet. The second trap challenged Jesus' alliance. The third trap attempted to ridicule Jesus, Jesus' belief in the resurrection. And the fourth trap answered by claiming God's greatness to be love. Jesus knew what he was doing and what was coming. We're talking about today, Holy Week, a demonstration of God's will and God's purpose. And throughout this week, next week, we find on Wednesday, the gospel states that he was teaching in the temple. And it refers as a day of rest for Jesus. A woman anointed Jesus' feet with perfume. And, of course, we know that the spy would take that opportunity to betray Jesus. So finding an open opportunity of greed, Judas, Satan entered him. Judas went to the chief priest and Ananias, and from that moment he sought an opportunity to betray him. He would soon betray Jesus for the price of a slave, and 12 were scattered. None of the 12 would be left at the feet of the cross as Jesus died, but John. Judas betrayed the very man who he followed for years. But because of Spy Wednesday, we see yet another prophecy fulfilled from the Old Testament. Judas's role fulfilled words declared hundreds of years before and further proves the validity of what we believe and why we stand on the Bible. And then there was mundane Thursday. On this holy, which is holy, Thursday, in an upper room, Jesus and his disciples shared the Last Supper. On this day, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and broke bread with them for the last time, still celebrated today as we do the Last Supper, as we commemorate. And pray for me again. fighting through this cold as we commemorate the death and the blood, the bread, the sacraments, which is the Last Supper, break bread, and the wine or the grape juice, praise the Lord. But it is the Holy Communion, as we call it now, which was then the Last Supper, praise God, what we share represents the blood and the body and the blood of Jesus Christ to be broken and shared for his disciples and for all of us. During this meal, Jesus predicted his betrayal by one of them. He also predicted Peter's denial. And certainly, we read in the scriptures, after this meal was over, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and where he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, praise the Lord. And yet he came back to his disciples three times. Could not one of them wait and pray with them? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So in essence, he finally said, Lord, let this cup be done. And your will be done. Let it be done. He asks God, can you take it away? Can you take it away? And oftentimes we go through situations and we go through problems and we ask for God to take it away. We ask God to alleviate or to deliver us from this situation. But here we have an example of Jesus, the human form, going through praying, knowing that he's about to die on the cross, knowing that the soldiers are coming for him, knowing that he's been set up, going through the whole week knowing that the priest is gathering more and more information. They've already threw four challenges at him, and certainly he knew that they were gunning for him. How, as soon as he came in town on the donkey, they knew they were plotting for him. Not that through his ministry they had not been plotting for him, but this is the week. This is the week that God knew that he was going to die on the cross for us, that the purpose must be fulfilled, that mankind may be healed and saved and delivered. So in essence, he is in the garden. He is literally praying and praying and praying and praying until the sweat becomes blood. But he continues to say, not my will, but thine be done. But he had to go back. And certainly, saints, sometimes you feel like you're all alone. But I'm here to let you know you are not all alone. Why? Because God, Jesus Christ, has bared our infirmities, has bared our sins, has taken upon himself to die. No man took his life, but he gave it. So this is leading up to Good Friday. And a lot of times people say, how can Jesus die on Good Friday? That's not 3 days. Well, you've got to go back to the Hebrew calendar, because Hebrew calendar is not the same as our calendar. They distinguished the night and the days differently. So if you want that chart, saints of the beloved God, just give me a text and I will email it to you. Good Friday was the last day of Jesus' life on earth before his resurrection. We know the scripture. He was betrayed by Judas. We know that Peter denied him. We know that the disciples were scattered. We know that he was arrested and put on trial falsely. Christians, as believers, as true believers, we're going to be talked about. We're going to be lied on. We are going to be misunderstood. We are going to say that we're violating the rights of others, but we stand. We stand and represent Christ because he died for us. He was condemned. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was required to carry his own cross to the place where he would be crucified and die. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Now, I want you to know history. This all happened during Passover. What is Passover, Dr. Carey? I tried to link the scriptures to let you see history throughout our Bible, to let you see that this book is not just chapters or books thrown together in a book to just say, here it is. But this is God's word, and it builds upon each other. The Old Testament is often talked about and referenced in the New Testament. We started out with an Old Testament verse that's spoken in the New Testament. And the reason why I say all that, because I want you to understand this was during Passover. And Passover was celebrated by the Jewish community every year. What was Passover? Satan would make my nose start running. What was Passover? Passover was back in Moses' day when the children of Israel was fighting to get their freedom from slavery. And the lamb had to be sacrificed because the death angel was going to walk through the place to kill every firstborn. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I hope you feeling what I'm trying to say through this blog talk. Here we have the Passover lamb. And at Passover, they had to take a lamb. This lamb could not have any blemishes. This lamb had to be squeaky clean. Oh, Jesus. And they sacrificed it. They sacrificed the lamb and took the blood of the lamb and painted it all over the doorpost, over the door. Oh, so the death angel will understand the Passover. Reason why it's called Passover, praise God. But here is Jesus Christ. He's about to die on the cross. Mm-hmm. He was sacrificed as the last lamb for Passover. So it had to be during Passover. Praise God, and I'm not going to get on to all this. It had to be during Passover, which was scheduled or which was still celebrated, that Christ had to come and die during this particular time. And for us, Easter, they have a calendar of why it falls on this day, but during this time, Easter falls in, or Resurrection Sunday falls in April, late March, early April, because of the seasons of the time frame, the season and what's going on in nature during that time. And it's celebrated during springtime. And as you know, springtime came this week. So that's why all of it aligns, the stars, the moon, all of it aligns up to God's word. We want to put God's word in a box and says that it does not speak to the culture and the situation or political realm, but it does. God's word speaks to everything. God knew and understood that he was going to come and what needed to happen when Adam and Eve sinned. Mm-hmm. He prepared his son, and his son came down to give us a representation of what we should be like. And why is it called Good Friday? Because Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work for the good of those that love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All good things. God's will was done. It's Good Friday because God, Jesus, and I'm going to say Jesus, died, and he became the final sacrifice for our sins. He became that lamb that sacrificed, that death angel so the death angel would know that we're covered in the blood, that the blood of Jesus is sprinkled over us. So when that death angel comes by and tries to steal our joy, it knows, oh, you covered in the blood. When that death angel tries to steal our kids and we apply the blood of Jesus and we command scriptures to function and we speak just like Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and the fig tree was cursed. And he said to the disciples, all you got to do is speak the word and it shall be. Not it's going to be, but it shall be. So we are to represent Christ as we commemorate the death, the resurrection, and the blood of Jesus on this week, as we go into Palm Sunday and get our palms, as we fast and pray for the week, as we go through our Good Friday sermons, as we come back and we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we are to seek God like never before. We're living in a time where prayer and fasting needs to be on our agenda more than just one week. We need to seek God daily. We need to pray daily. Oh, we need to know that God is able, and only through reading the word, spending time in his presence, do we recognize and understand that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Oh, because the word will change our hearts. It will change our minds. It will get us focused to a place where we'll be strong in the Lord and in the fullness of his might, that we know that God is able and that we don't have to take any whoop tickets that Satan may bring to us, because it was in God's will and his purpose that Jesus died on the cross. It is in God's plan and his purpose that you know the Lord, that you're walking through your current test now. Why? Because God wants the glory from your life. God wants the glory from your life. What is purpose? Purpose is the reason for which something is done or created. For the reason why something exists. You were created with a purpose. You exist with a purpose. You have been saved for a purpose. What is the will of God? The will of God is the thing that God desires and wishes to happen in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. Oh, God's purpose, God's will and his purpose has been fulfilled as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday on next Sunday. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We exalt you. We magnify you. We bless your name. For all those believers, God, that are on the line right now, we pray, God, that you give them an understanding of the word, and we pray, God, that you heal, deliver, and set free. I pray, God, that you touch my body right now, God. Oh, strengthen it right now. Touch my mother's body right now in the name of Jesus. You came to heal, and we pray, God, even as you died upon the cross, we know that by your stripes we're healed, meaning by the whips, by the torture, by the suffering that you incurred, your blood ran. And because your blood ran down, God, it is a symbol of it coming to heal us. And Father God, by your blood, we pray right now, God, that you touch our bodies in the name of Jesus, that you heal, deliver, and set free. I thank you, God, for even just the ability to communicate to your people on this morning, for opening up my throat, God, and let me speak your word, God. Oh, it's a testament to you, God. It's a testament of who you are, and I thank you, God. And God, if there's somebody on this line, or if there's somebody out in radio land that don't know you in the pardon of their sins, God, I pray, God, that you'll give them a mind and to say these words. Please save me, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, right now. God, speak these words. I'm a sinner. I ask Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior, and I confess him as Lord. All you have to do is say those words, and therefore you'll be saved. And God, he'll touch the liver, God. And you know, I pray for all those. I pray for the family members that are going through the loss of their loved ones, especially those that are attached to this blog talk. I pray, God, for him. Oh, I pray, God, for his family. I pray, God, for each sibling. I pray, God, for each grandchild. You know, Father God, who's attached to this family. I pray for them. I pray, God, for each and every one, God. I pray, God, that they're unity in the midst of this family. I pray, God, for each and every one, for the other family that has lost their mother, God. I pray for them, God, as you, God, fulfill and touch their lives, God. I pray for strength for them. This is my prayer, God, and all of those that are suffering with a loved one. I pray for those. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I pray for my assistant, my co-host. I pray for her strength. I pray for her ministry. And I pray for each and every family member. All right, saints of the Most High God. Or next week, you'll be in the hands of my co-hosts. Continue to keep me in your prayers because I need them. Thank you. Goodbye. Bye-bye.